Thank you, Brother Logan. What a blessing to be here tonight. Appreciate the songs. It's a blessing to us tonight. Thank you for your prayers. And appreciate the Lord giving us traveling mercy and grace. Appreciate His hand of protection upon us this day. And I trust the Lord will help us tonight and say to us and through us what He would be pleased with in the service tonight. Well, I'm going to look at a familiar passage of Scripture, Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter number 3. We'll begin reading with verse 1 tonight and read down through verse number 5 and then preach to you what's on my heart tonight. Exodus chapter 3, and we'll begin reading with verse 1. Now, if you found your place and are physically able and willing to do so, I would invite you to stand with us. Of course, by standing, we're simply honoring and reverencing the reading of the Word of the Lord. If you're able to remain standing after we read these five verses, we'll pray together and ask the Lord to help us tonight, and I would appreciate those prayers greatly. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Father, I thank you for the reading of the Scripture. I'm grateful that you preserved your word to this generation. I thank you for the portion you've directed my heart to. I thank you for an open door to preach tonight. I thank you, Lord, for this dear pastor and those that make up this body here, those that are visiting from other churches tonight. We're grateful for every child of God, every saint, every believer, Lord, every brother and sister in Christ that is here with us tonight. We're grateful, dear Lord, for any sinner that may be among us. Most of all, Lord, we appreciate your presence. We thank you for the songs and the prayers that's already been done tonight to bring glory and honor unto your name. I'm keenly conscious and aware tonight, if you do not touch us, if you do not anoint us, if you do not help us, our efforts are in vain tonight. But Lord, for the next few moments, would you have mercy on me? And would you have mercy upon this dear people that await my words? And would you do that great eternal and effectual work that only you can do in the heart and life of an individual tonight? Would you bind every force of hell and Satan that would hinder or in any way defeat us tonight? May we all, Father, even from ourselves, Lord, Lord, be turned tonight and look and behold you again high and lifted up. I pray you'd work, Lord, in our lives unto your own honor and glory and praise tonight. Have mercy on sinners, stir saints. Oh, Lord, may your name be magnified and glorified among us. And all that you do in, through, and for us, we'll thank you. In the lovely name of Jesus, I humbly pray, amen and amen. Thank you kindly for standing as we read the Scripture and then prayed together. Well, we haven't seen Moses now for 40 years. The last time we saw Moses, he fled Egypt. The Bible tells us, according to Stephen's preaching in Acts chapter 7, that when he slew that Egyptian and buried him in the sand, he supposed his brethren would have understood that God, by his hand, would deliver them from Egyptian bondage.
But the Bible said they understood not. And when two of them fought each other the next day, the thing that he thought he had hid, my friend, was revealed. And they said, who made you a Lord? Who made you a judge over us? And leaving Egypt and fleeing to the land of Midian, here is Moses. Of course, he there finds Jethro, my friend, that Midianite priest, and marries one of his daughters. And for the next 40 years, Moses is living in the land of Midian on the backside of the desert. Yet, my friend, the Lord has him here. Yet, the Lord, my friend, is going to teach and train Moses in this place. Now, the Bible tells us that he was already brought up in the land of Egypt, my friend, there, that he was a man mighty in word and in deed. The Bible tells us that, my friend, he was learned in all the ways of the Egyptians. I don't think there was a college in Egypt that he did not attend, or at least he went to the most prestigious one in Egypt. I think that he learned, my friend, education. He had the best education, being called Pharaoh's son, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, as was supposed there. I think he was brought up in the best military school. I think he learned all there was to learn in that sense. I think as far as economics, he learned how to run Egypt. As a matter of fact, I think he was being prepped and prepared to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. I think that's what they were doing. History tells us that this Pharaoh's daughter had no other children but him. This abducted boy, this boy brought out of the water, whom she called Moses. And yet, though he was a man mighty in word and in deed, yet he was learned in all the ways of the Egyptians, my friend, and understood in his heart that God was going to use him to deliver his brethren. At age 40, thank God he was not ready to be the deliverer. And neither were the children of Israel ready to be delivered. Oh, they'd already been crying. They'd already been persecuted. They'd already, my friend, faced the heavy hand of Pharaoh on their life. But they were not ready to make that trip across the wilderness and head to the land of Canaan. Our schedule is not God's schedule. Our time is not God's time. Amen. Oh, how oft do we feel we know the best? How oft do we think, thank God, that we are ready, or this is the time? Are you hearing me? Oh my. By the way, my friend, since Moses said God will deliver me, or use me to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage, by my hand, he took things in his own hand. Are you hearing me? Thank God, it was his hand that reached around the throat of that Egyptian, thank God, and choked him. Are y'all hearing me? Oh my. But you see, what Moses did not understand, it wasn't his hand that God was going to use. God was going to do it with his hand. God's hand. Matter of fact, that's what's attributed to him. Thank God, they were brought out by the hand of God. Hallelujah. How was that? Because Moses put his hand in the hand of God. Moses put his rod, thank God, in the hand of God. And Moses' hand and Moses' rod became the rod of God. Amen. It was not that way, thank God, the first 40 years in Egypt. And by the way, thank God, my friend, it's not by fleshly wisdom. It's not by carnal knowledge, my friend, that we're able to accomplish the work and the will of God. Oh, you hear me, friend? It looks like God had to take him away from Egypt and put him in the backside of the desert. And looks like he had to empty him of all that he learned and retrain him. Amen. You see, it wouldn't take us so long, thank God, to be usable and to be pliable in the hand of God if he didn't have to retrain us, if he didn't have to empty us, amen, thank God, of what we've learned. I've been taught wrong, and then for him to teach it right. Are y'all listening to me? It's not new as hard how to train an individual that's never had a certain training as it is when they've had the wrong training or the wrong teaching. And work with them till they unlearn. Amen. Thank God what they have learned and then to learn according to the work and the will of God. Amen. Oh, bless his name tonight. Thank God for that. So here's Moses. He's on. He's in the desert. Thank God. The Bible said, thank God, when we see him in this chapter here, after 40 years, that he led the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, to the backside of the desert. Amen. Now you'd think after 40 years, Moses have his own flock. He's still keeping that in law. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? It looks like that he lost all of his wrong ambition. Thank God, in the land of it. Are y'all listening to me? Thank God. Hallelujah. And he learned to take his place. Oh, God, help us tonight. He learned to wait his turn. Amen. He learned to wait in line. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Oh, help us, Lord. And just say, okay, God, amen. However you want to do it, you do it. Amen. Amen. Oh, bless his name. So here he is. Amen. By the way, thank God, he's a shepherd. And for 40 years, he grew up hating shepherds. For 40 years, thank God, as an Egyptian, thank God, I'm using that lightly. You understand what I'm saying tonight. As an Egyptian, thank God, according to Genesis 46, 34, thank God, Joseph talking to Jacob and his brethren, he said, when you get to Pharaoh, tell him, thank God, that you keep cattle and you keep sheep, for the shepherds are an abomination to the Egyptian, and they'll put you in the land of Goshen. That's the best land. Are y'all here? Me? Oh, thank God. And so here he is, and the Egyptians are an abomination unto him. Shepherds are an abomination unto him as an Egyptian. And yet God has him doing the very thing that's abominable unto him. How's that for knocking the pride out of you? Are you listening to me? Thank God. Oh, and so, thank God, now he is, thank God, this shepherd. And he's been this for 40 years. Amen. Oh, my. Bless his name. I got a feeling that when we look on this scene right here, and he's on the backside of the desert. Amen. Are you listening to me? Some commentators say that backside of the desert simply means, thank God, the western side of the desert. Amen. How far when men stood to their back, amen, was the west. To their forefront was the east. Thank God, to their left and right was the north and the south. Thank God, oh my. But here he was, my friend, in the land or near the mountain of Horeb. Horeb was an whole mountain range. Sinai was just one particular peak in that range. Thank God. Most of that desert he was in was arid and dry. Thank God. The most of the water of the pasture was towards that land of Horeb. And so he's following that same path. Thank God. They're walking that same trail that he's walked for 40 years. And thanks. I personally think that he thinks that's all there ever will be. This is how it's going to be the rest of my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my, bless the Lord. He is serving faithfully without any faith. Is anybody listening to me tonight? He is serving faithfully without any faith. He doesn't have any faith or confidence about the future. Thank God, he's content to dwell with a man. He's content to he ain't trying to do nothing. Hallelujah. Thank God, he's not wanting his own flock. He's still leading Jethro, his father-in-law's flock. Are y'all hearing me? Oh, bless his name. Thank God. Oh, thank God. And so he leads them. Thank God. I think in the same place that he has led before. Thank God. Following the same path and the same trail. Headed to the same pasture. Headed to the same water. Amen. Hallelujah. But this day something is different. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. Help us, Lord. Now, I know we can't make God do anything when we want to like we want him to do it. Hallelujah. But we can be aware of our surroundings. Hallelujah. And at least he was that. He's leading the flock. Amen. Thank God. He's following the same path. Hallelujah. But at least he's familiar with his surroundings. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Amen. And he may not feel like that he'll have any other use in his life, that what he thought would happen in Egypt is forever gone. Hallelujah. But at least he wants to look around and see the beauty of God. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Help me, Lord. Are you listening tonight? Oh my. And can I say in our life tonight, though it may seem to us, thank God that what we thought God would do and how God would use us in our life, how will ever be, we can still behold the beauty of God in the surroundings that are around us tonight. Just because we're not sitting on the throne, just because we're not leading the people out of Egypt, just because we're not at my feet at the head. Hey, God, does not mean that God does not beautify this world with his presence and his power. Hallelujah. Does not mean we cannot witness his mercy and his grace as we look in our surroundings. Hallelujah. Amen. Just because it seems an end of your dream or an end of the path you want to follow or the end of what you suppose or the end of what he thought you put in his or what God put in your heart, it does not mean that God has gone out of business. Does not mean, oh, are y'all hearing me tonight? It does not mean that there cannot be faith that you can behold with your eyes that will touch your heart and flood your soul. Hallelujah. Amen. Help us, Lord. And so on this particular day, leading to the backside of the desert. So many have been taught there. John the Baptist was in the wilderness unto his showing unto Israel. Paul was in the wilderness or the desert of Arabia for 3+ years before he was shown there at Jerusalem. Amen. Christ himself was tempted in the wilderness, though just for 40 days, something to be learned. When God pulls us to the side, when God puts us, amen, on the backside of nowhere, hallelujah, out of the limelight, hallelujah, amen. Bless his name. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. And so the Bible said as he is leading that flock to the backside of the desert and come to the mountain of God, even to Mount Horeb, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. That was the miracle. Verse number 3, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Why is it burning and not being consumed? Why is it on fire but not turning to ashes? Amen. Why does it just keep on burning? Why is the flame continuing? I'll turn aside and see this sight. Amen. I don't know how God will put a burning bush in your life. But oh, if he does tonight, he'd do you well to turn aside to see what he has to say, to see what he's doing tonight. Amen. As a matter of fact, had not Moses turned aside to see this sight, had Moses kept leading the flock, had Moses just ignored it and kept going where he'd always went for the last 40 years, there would have been no voice up from the Lord. Hey, God, it looks like to me, God, I would have let him walk by. Anybody hearing me tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. And I hadn't yet, I don't know, y'all pray for me, I need help. Amen, I hadn't yet, thank God, found out about all about the providence of God and the free agency of man and how they cross and, amen, thank God, are y'all hearing me tonight? Amen, oh my, yes sir, oh my. But I know it wasn't until he turned aside to see this sight that the Lord spoke to him. Amen. I'm convinced tonight, until you and I turn aside, unto you and I turn away, thank God, up from the flock, turn away, thank God, up from that, my friend, all that we've been used to, and thank God, that rut, that routine, my friend, and turn aside. God will never talk to us. I will never hear what it is that he's got for us to do. Amen. Somebody said, but preacher, we're here tonight. We've come out on this October night. Amen. Thank God. As the cool fronts come through, we come here tonight as the rains are falling. How surely we have turned aside. But I'm telling you, sometimes my friend, going to church is following a path that we've been following for years, and we're not here to hear from God. We're not here to turn aside. We're not here to learn or to listen. Hey, God, or have our lives changed. We're here just to follow the same rut and the routine that we've all always followed. Anybody hearing me tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you come all the way from Alabama and just tell us that? I reckon I did. I reckon that's what. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he turned aside because it was. It was spectacular. It was miraculous. It was unusual. It was different. Amen. For the bush to burn. Amen. And I don't know. Some of the writers think that it wasn't just one particular bush, but it was a cluster. Amen. Of these little small bushes and they're on fire. I don't know. Whichever way it was. Amen. Thank God, the Bible says, amen, he appeared to him in the midst of a bush. Amen. By the way, the angel of the Lord that appeared unto him, who was it? It had to be Christ. I believe it was Christ. Don't y'all think it was Christ? Deuteronomy 33, Moses, just before he leaves, blessing the different sons of Jacob. He gets down to Joseph, and in verse 16 he said, blessed be Joseph for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Amen. Hallelujah. He dwelt in the bush. It's the word Shekinah, thank God. The Shekinah glory dwelt in that bush. Hallelujah. Can I say to you the difference in Moses leading the children of Israel out from Egypt's bondage when he was 40 and when he was 80 was, thank God, at 80 he saw the glory of God. Hallelujah. Yes, he'd already forsaken the glory of Egypt, the coffers of Egypt, and the treasures of Egypt. Pharaoh's, are you hearing me, friend? Thank God. But when he went back down there, he wasn't doing it for no other glory, but for God's glory. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, what we do tonight ought to be for the glory of God and nobody and nothing else tonight. And unless it is, it's of no value or of no profit. Thank God, and it'll burn up at the judgment seat with fire. Hallelujah. Amen. The bush burned with fire. Amen. The bush here is Achaia bush. It's known as the thorny bush. It's the same wood that the ark was made out of. Amen. A thorny bush. Amen. They would tell us, those that study that, those things, that the thorny bush, a thorn means that there should be fruit, but it's been aborted. There can possibly be a leaf. Thank God, but it's been aborted. And so in place of the leaf and in place of the fruit, there is, amen, a thorn. And it's in the midst of that thorn that the angel of the Lord appeared. The glory of God appeared in the midst of the thorny bush. Hallelujah. What does it say to Moses? Moses, you made a mess of things down yonder in Egypt. When you ought to brought forth fruit, you brought forth thorns. Hallelujah. Are y'all hearing me? Thank God you murdered that Egyptian. Oh my. Thank God. But Moses, guess what? Thank God, I'm still in the bush. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, my glory, thank God, can still be seen. Amen. Oh, thank God, in and through a life. Thank God. That's not everything, thank God, that it should have been or could have been or maybe ought to have been. Anybody hearing me tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. The fire spoke, thank God. I think to Moses personally, thank God, I think it spoke of the tabernacle that was to be built. Hallelujah. Thank God. And though the glory would fall in that holy of holy, thank God, it would not be consumed. Thank God. Oh, the tabernacle would not. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Thank God. I think it spoke of the nation of Israel. Thank God that though they were in Egypt, thank God, and into the fire and furnace of affliction, God's glory would be shown and they'd be brought out. Hallelujah. Amen. I think it's a typical of the cross. Thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. And on the cross, the Lord Jesus underwent the wrath. Thank God. Of Almighty God, and the fire of God's judgment and wrath fell on Christ. But it didn't put him out. Hallelujah. Thank God. Oh, he did give up the ghost. But he went to the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. And come back out with the keys of hell and death, picked up his body and said, I am he that is alive and alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Oh my, I could not be concerned. Amen. Bless his name. Oh, I praise the Lord for it, don't you? But the fire burning in the bush, hallelujah, expressed a permanence. God could be saying, my plan for Israel has not changed. It's a permanent plan. My plan for you, Moses, has not changed. You took it on yourself to mess it up, but I, hallelujah.
How many Old Testament characters do you know that got ahead of God and, amen, took things in their own hands? Are y'all hearing me tonight? Amen. But in spite of it, there was a permanence. Thank God, hallelujah. My friend, of the glory and the power and the plan and the purpose of God. Hallelujah.
Right. Yes, sir. Thank God.
Amen. Amen. His plan for Pharaoh had not changed. It was permanent because he was keeping his promise. He'd done told Abraham what was going to happen. Hallelujah. Oh, man, he got in that burning bush. He's in that bush and he's on fire. And he said, thank God, the promise, amen, is a permanent promise. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to do what I told Abraham I'm going to do. They'll be there over 400 years. But when the time gets right, they're coming out. The prayers are going to be answered. Hallelujah. I'm listening to them cry. I'm listening to them pray. Hallelujah. Amen. And I sure wish sometime when I pray and when I talk to him, he'd answer me and he'd do what I'm asking. Hallelujah. But to have the consolation tonight that he's listening, that he's hearing, he hadn't moved yet, but he's listening. Hallelujah. Woo! And he ain't said no yet. Oh my. So I can keep on praying, thank God, as long as he don't say no. Amen. Hallelujah. It's permanence in the midst of their persecution. They're being persecuted, thank God. But oh, thank God, I'm dwelling in the bush. I'm there among them. Hallelujah. I know what they're feeling. I know what they're going through. I'm identifying with it. Oh, my. Bless his name. Hallelujah. And if I hadn't said too much, let me just say a word or two about this verse that I really want to get to. The Lord saw that he turned aside. He said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. Amen. Here am I. What a blessing to be able to respond to the voice of God. Amen. Abraham, when God called him in Genesis 22, said, here I am. The next two times in Genesis 22, he said, here am I. Amen. Here I am made himself available. Here am I made himself accountable. Here I am is, I'm listening. Here am I is, I'm in the spot where I ought to be. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Oh, Moses, Moses, here am I. Amen. Hallelujah. What a place for God to speak to him. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. I don't know when it came in his heart that God was to use him to deliver the Egyptians, in my personal opinion, for what it's worth. Amen. Is it must have been around the knees of, when he was around the knees of his mama. Hallelujah. And his daddy and bringing him up. Hallelujah. Like God ain't talked to him in the palaces in Egypt. Amen. God ain't talking to him there, but oh, out here on the backside of the desert, when a bush is on fire. Hallelujah. And he's all out there by himself. God said, Moses, not just Moses, but Moses, Moses. And he says, here am I. I understand now why I've been here all these 40 years. I understand now. Hallelujah. Can I say, Lord, hallelujah, before you say anything else, thank God it's been worth being out here for the 40 years just to see you and to hear you. Thank God. Are y'all listening to me? Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Looks like God always does much preparation and then little public viewing with individuals. For the most part. Here's Moses, and he says, and the Lord says now, when he says, here am I, hallelujah. draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Here's what I'll leave with you tonight, and we'll be through. The Lord is saying to Moses, you can't come any closer till you take off your shoes. And the first thing and the only thing I want to talk about tonight is what he's saying to Moses is, I want you to take off the shoes of your defilement. This is holy ground. And your shoes have been defiled because you've been walking on a cursed earth, on cursed ground, on dust and dirt. Therefore, your feet are defiled. And you can't stand on holy ground with me, or you can't draw any closer to me until you take off your shoes. That's your being defiled. Amen. Moses just simply doing his job. Moses just simply doing, thank God, what he'd been doing for 40 years. But the Lord said, you're defiled by your walk. You're defiled, thank God, by the places you're being. Amen. You're defiled by the dust of the earth. Take those shoes off, thank God, and come closer to me and be able to stand on holy ground with me. I wonder tonight, do we need to take off the shoes of our defilement tonight? Amen. You see, because we are not doing some things that others do, thank God, others that we attribute our bad, our worst sin, thank God, we don't feel like we're defiled. But I wonder tonight what it is that's keeping us from standing on holy ground with the Lord tonight. Amen. Can I say to you, we pick up enough just on a daily basis to defile us. That's why at the tabernacle that Moses reared there in the wilderness, that's why, thank God, that after the priest at the brazen altar, my friend, oh, hear me, friend, had offered, my friend, the sacrifice called the blood. My friend, between there, thank God, and going in the tabernacle was the brazen laver where they could wash their feet and wash their hands before they could do the service and the work of the Lord. That's why when the Lord said to, thank God, to Simon Peter in John chapter 13, thank God, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Peter didn't want the Lord to wash his feet, thank God, but he said, Peter, thank God, they that are clean need not to be washed, save their feet, them, thank God, that I have washed them, that I have cleansed. The word is simply bathed or put in the bathtub. Thank God, they don't need to have another bath. They just need their feet cleaned. Oh, we don't need to be saved again, but we do need, thank God, the shoes of our defilement to be taken off and laid aside where we can draw nigh to God and get on holy ground with Him tonight. Are you listening to me tonight? What he was saying to Simon Peter was, Simon, you can go to that public bathhouse and take a bath, slip on your robe, put on your sandals, walk down to your house, and between the bathhouse and your house, you get to the door of your house, thank God, you picked up, thank God, where they throwed out the garbage, and you'll pick up the dust, the dirt, thank God, and when you get to your house, you don't need another bath, but you need your feet washed, and that's what he wants to do tonight, is for us to draw nigh to him. Thank God. Hallelujah tonight. But since he's holy, hey, are y'all hearing me tonight? We can't get to where he wants us to be tonight without us taking the shoes of our defilement off tonight. Amen. Somebody said, but I don't have any sin. Hallelujah. You're the first one need to confess tonight. Hallelujah. Thank God. It's a sin to think like that. Amen. It's a sin to feel that way. Anybody hearing me tonight?
Oh, by the way, the closer we get to God, my friend, we don't feel holier than everybody else. We don't feel exalted or superior. But the closer we get to it, the more we see, hey, God, as His light shines on the specks of dirt and dust that are upon us tonight. God, help us tonight. Take our shoes off and get on holy ground. God wants us tonight to draw nigh to it. God wants us closer than what we are, but we're stopped until we're willing to take off the shoes of our defilement tonight. Amen. What unconfessed sin, what cleansing, what do you need to tell Him tonight? And would you do it? Will you take off your shoes and draw nigh to Him tonight, or we can be on holy ground? Hallelujah. In these days.